mean I did it? It ain't my fault. You blaming me? Hi, my name is Noah Michael Smith, and I'm so happy to be back with you here on the Low Food Fitness Lifestyle Podcast. Today's show is called Blame, the Blame Culture. Look, I'm bringing this up because I go out every 5 minutes and I'm in my car and I'm seeing certain things going on in my class everywhere I go, and people tend to want to pass the buck. It ain't my fault. I tell you what, we're living in a no fault and no blame culture. No one wants to take responsibility for anything. But I tell you what, it is your fault. Whatever you do in your life, it is your fault. So I'm going to cut to the chase and get right down to some of this stuff. Now, when's the last time you did a cartwheel? Can you do a cartwheel? You know what a cartwheel is? When you put one hand on the floor, followed by the other hand, then the leg, and the following leg. And then you end up back on your feet. That's what you call a cartwheel. Cartwheel is something that everyone messed around with and did at school. If you did gymnastics, you'd be able to do cartwheel, because I think that's a minimum requirement in that art. But here's a question. When was that moment that you weren't able to do a cartwheel? Girls, they all start looking at me. And the guys as well, they all start looking at me. Well, I can't really remember. Of course you can't remember, because the last time you were able to do a cartwheel was the last time you did a cartwheel. If you do something and you stop doing that thing, go back to it in 5-6 years' time. You think you could just pick it up from where you left off? It's crazy. You are responsible for yourself not being able to do that cartwheel. So here's the thing now. You do a cartwheel, you're responsible for doing that cartwheel and doing it well. The moment you cease to do that cartwheel, you are also responsible for not doing that cartwheel. It's taking responsibility, right? I'm just simplifying this here for you now. Let's deal with your body. You got a good body? Well, how do you define a good body? Well, that's relative, really. If you're amongst a group of friends that live a reckless life and you're slim and they're not so slim, then you got a good body. If you're amongst a group of bodybuilders or fitness enthusiasts, then maybe you don't have a good body. But it's all relative to the circumstances and the environment and the company that you keep. However, let's just say your body's pretty moderate and you're okay with that. That's down to you. Your good body is down to you. If you're lean, it's down to you. You did it. You ate well. You weight trained. You circuit trained. You ran. You did all those things that got you the lean body in the first place. But if you're not in good condition and you got your stomach hanging over your jeans and you got your butt hanging down by the back of your knees, and you got flapping wings on your arms, you did that. No one else did that, you did it. I ain't responsible. Your brother or your mother or your sister ain't responsible. Well, your mother could be, I suppose, if she fed you food 24/7 when you were a young child. But primarily, you are responsible for your own success and demise. And I want to get into that a little bit more now. If you take an exam, or you are entering to a major competition, boxing, running, whatever it may be, but you're being judged in some shape or form. Where does the exercise mean in the practicing? Where does that start? That starts way before the competition or the exam. If you want to go out and drink every night while your competitors are at home studying, you want to go out and party all night or every night while your competitors are in the gym training, when you get to the ultimate day, you're going to flunk. It's not going to be a good day for you. That ain't their fault. They're there to beat you. It ain't anyone else's fault. Ain't your instructors, ain't your trainer. It's yours. You got to take responsibility for that. Just like if you were in the studio every single day, morning, noon and night, training hard, pushing those weights, hitting those running machines or CV machines like crazy, and if you're doing an exam, you're in your textbooks 24/7, not going out, pulling all-nighters to make it work, and then you get to the exam and you hit it, you're firing all cylinders, it's down to you. You did that. Well, you're going to take responsibility for the good things. You also got to take responsibility for the losses. Now, I want to tell you about two stories. The first story was a couple of girls that I had teaching for me, and I had to get rid of them last year. In fact, it was early this year. I had a class. It was all going good. I trained them up really well, but they went off the boil a little bit, and then they went off the boil a lot more, and I wanted to show them how it should be done. And I had a girl over at another class, another area, the same age, and she was amazing. She was so good. She had a class of 30 kids, and she was in this class, 14 or 15-year-old girl. She had this class in the palm of her hands. She watched me teach, and she took every teaching skill that I've shown her or what she's seen over the years and implement them, apply them into the class she was teaching. She had them under control. Her voice was powerful. Her direction was good. Where she was standing as the kids were doing their techniques, going up and down the room, was impeccable. These two girls that I had at the beginning of the year who I had to let go, they were the complete opposite. As I said, they started off okay, but they went downhill. You're meant to get better as you go on, right? But they got worse. So I showed them a recording I had on my phone of the girl who was the good teacher, right? I showed them this recording. And you know what they said to me? Every excuse came out of the book. She's got an orderly class. She's been doing it longer. She's older. She's this. She's that. All the excuses, but they failed to see their own shortcomings, that they weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Rather than looking at the video and seeing that what this girl's doing is epic and what they're doing is stopping way short of that, they rather just say, it ain't my fault. Pass the buck. Don't take any responsibility. Put it all onto somebody else. The next story I want to tell you about is yet another 15-year-old. This is a boy. I've liked this kid. I've liked his family quite a lot. He was somebody I wanted to help in a huge way because I saw a lot of myself in him to a certain extent. And he was a person that is a boy, but becoming a man, and he's almost growing out of his body. He's getting this masculine, powerful body. It's too powerful for the kids, his own age group. So I had to put him in the adult class and he was okay. But there was one issue, that my adult class is mainly women. So he's still overpowering those people. But Kung Fu, it ain't about power. A lot of it is about finesse, grace, touch, fluency. All the things that he needed to learn. So he was all and out power. All that power. If you punch a pad, don't go for accuracy, want to take your hand off. There was a lot he needed to learn. So I said, hey man, I'm going to put you into a competition, a big open competition. So I phoned up my friend Neville Ray, said, what you got going on? Neville said he's got this and that going on, and there was one going on in his area, not so far from me. So we went to this competition, and this particular boy did terrible, despite the fact that he's a brown belt. Now you got to remember, brown belt is one away from black. And he earned his brown belt, but in my opinion, he's not a brown belt standard now. When he went to this competition, there was four in his category, him including, yeah? So three including himself make the four. So they did a round robin, which means everyone fights everybody. And he didn't do so well. I didn't expect him to win, but he didn't do well at all. In fact, they pretty much took him apart. Now, two things I want to draw out of that. Number one is what we're talking about, blame, or taking responsibility. I thought that would teach him a lesson so he would come back to the school and say, yeah, knuckle down, now I know what I gotta do, I'm gonna get down and do it. Rather than doing that, he starts blaming everybody else. I weren't ready, I've not had the training, this teacher isn't good enough, da 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 da, all this stuff. Do you know, I have witnesses to this. He will come to the class on my Tuesday. Let me give you a rundown on my Tuesday. 5 to 5:30, I have the peewee class. 5:30 to 6:40, I have the kids and teenagers class. We have a 20-minute break while everyone comes in the room. Start the fitness class at 7 o'clock, finishing at 8 o'clock. Straight after that, from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, I have authentic Kung Fu and kickboxing class. Now, the Kung Fu and kickboxing class is the one that this boy should be coming into. I'll say man come boy come man. He gets there before the workout class finishes. There's plenty of room for him to go into another studio, go into the gym, go run up and down the corridor, run around outside when it's the weather's good. He doesn't do that. You know what he does? He comes in, he sits on the chair and uses his phone, twiddling his fingers. Now, even when the girls have left the studio, have gone out into their cars, bikes, whatever, gone home and the hall is set for the kickboxers, he walks around, all lethargic, head down. Where's the responsibility? And the reason why I'm bringing this up, it's because this boy so desperately wants to take his black belt. You know what he's doing? He's blaming me. He's blaming his mother. He's blaming his sister. He's blaming his friends. He's blaming the girls that come to the class. Everybody is to blame but himself. And this is pretty indicative of 15 and 16-year-olds. So there's a blame culture going on there. You know, it goes in the car as well. I was driving along the other day and saw a girl pull right in front of a guy. The guy had to reverse into the other lane, almost hitting another car. When he honked at her, she's blaming him for telling her what the heck you're doing. She needs to just take responsibility. You know what I do when things happen in the road, right? You're driving a car and certain things happen. There's a lot of cars out there in London. A lot. Way too much. And it's like, you got to have eyes everywhere. You got to look around, constantly looking around to see if there's a car to your left, to your right, behind, in front of you. It's crazy, man. So what I do, if a mistake is made on my behalf, I put my hand up and say, hey, girl, I'm sorry. Hey, man, I'm sorry. You know, I try better next time. Hopefully I could teach them a thing or two because, you know, they're going to drive down the road and do to somebody else. Only the Lord God himself is perfect. Man ain't perfect. Woman ain't perfect. So we're going to make these mistakes. Take responsibility. Say, hey, I'm not God. I'm not the Lord. I try better next time. I look next time and I'll learn from that mistake. That's another thing. When you answer to your mistakes, take responsibility for what you've done. It makes you better because you can say, hey, this is what I did. I did this thing and it was wrong. So now I'm going to shake myself up and I ain't going to do it again. But if you carry on and saying it's not your fault, it's not my fault syndrome. Yeah, you heard it. It's not my fault syndrome. That is an illness. You're sure as heck right it is. It's an illness. Not my fault syndrome. You got it. Now listen up. Remember this. If you remember anything I tell you, remember this. The essence of knowledge is self-knowledge. Self-awareness. Know who you are. So what does that mean? Self-knowledge. If you admit that you've done something wrong, you are teaching yourself something. To say, I am to blame, is teaching yourself so much more than anyone can ever teach you. This is self-knowledge. Assess yourself. Be aware of what you're doing. Self-awareness. I learned that in the States with Master Billy Blanks. Self-awareness is the essence of you, the essence of your body, essence of your being. Without it, you're going to walk around like an automaton, not know what and who and how, where or when. Do you know, it's not a crime to say you weren't good enough at that time. You could have studied for something or trained for something and still come out the loser. Many people do. The guy could just be better than you. You still got to say, hey, I wasn't good enough at this time, always at this time, but I will become good. Again, is what I was saying earlier on. You admitting that you weren't good enough at that time. To admit that enables you to go into the gym, get back onto those textbooks and study or work harder. That's all you could do. If you don't fail, you cannot succeed. You got to be broken down to be built up. Taking responsibility for something is not a bad thing. You got to be able to do that. It takes a stronger and a bigger person that can do, say, stand up and say, hey, I was wrong. It's me. It's not you, him, or anybody else. I got people coming into my class. I'm trying to correct them, and they're telling me they've got an injury here or there. The correction that I'm doing is helping whatever injury they may have, you know, because my class is a great rehabilitation class. There's very little jumping in my class. Everything is low impact. There's no jumping up and down. You know, I bring this form of training into my kung fu and kickboxing class because there's no good me giving these guys all this hyper stuff and they're all fit and healthy today and broken down tomorrow. That ain't going to work, man, because I need them coming back week in, week out, month in, month out, year after year. Read John McEnroe's book. Great book. He had an issue with blame. Oh my goodness, if you watch his tennis matches, you know that from the off, just by seeing how he used to react when things weren't going his way. Always the umpire's fault, the line's fault, the opponent. Well, so the opponent, because it's the opponent's fault. The opponent hits a shot, he can't get it back. It's the opponent's fault. Are you going to blame the opponent for taking a better shot than you could return? That's the game. That's how it works. But no, with that aside, McEnroe used to blame everybody. And this is in his autobiography. This is not me looking at him on TV and judging the guy by what I see. This is his own words. John McEnroe had a fixed mindset. This all comes down to John McEnroe's way of thinking. He used to blame everybody for his faults. And he, by his own admission, had blamed himself and worked differently. He worked hard, but had he blamed himself and worked differently, he could achieve much more, much more. He achieved a lot already, but think what he could have achieved would have been outstanding had he had a different attitude towards his sport, which is tennis. Was John McEnroe part of the blame culture? It's not my fault syndrome. He definitely was. And this is coming from somebody who loves the guy. I only read autobiographies of people who I admire. And I admired him. And when I read that in his autobiography, I was shocked. But yeah, then I looked back at some of his tennis matches and said, yeah, I see that, Mr. McEnroe. So I want to get on to my children now. Oh my goodness, my kids, boy, do they not accept their responsibility. My little ones, they, and my girl as well, my older girl. She's getting better, I gotta say, she's getting better. I live in Reigate, and I think they've got an issue in this area with that, because I teach a lot of kids over here, and they have that issue where they don't want to accept responsibility. What are they teaching them in these schools down here? I don't know, man. But I'm seeing this from my kids, and I got to do some serious re-education on those children. It's getting better now, but it's hard work. I got to use so many different methods. I never shout at my kids for that. I never shout at my kids for anything. Doesn't make much point. I'm going to finish up now with some summary and some things you can do for you or your children and put some stuff in place. One thing I do when my children give me, they bring homework and I've given them some written work to do or some drawing to do. I do not give them an eraser, because an eraser is saying I never make mistakes. If they make a mistake on the drawing or some written work, scribble it out. Leave the mistake there, carry on. Because again, that teaches you that you are human. You can make mistakes and you could rise above that and move on from that. So we don't have erasers in my house. We don't need them. Now, the next thing is we take responsibility for our actions, right? That's what I'm trying to get over to. So as a parent, you got to take responsibility for your own action. You know, let your children see that you're taking responsibility for any mistakes you may make. You may buy the wrong bottle of milk. You may buy the wrong type of meat for their for their dinner. Don't try and cover it up. Just say, hey, take responsibility. Hey, mummy did this today, but I'm going to make it better tomorrow. Or I'm going to go out and get the right stuff or whatever it may be. I've told you this before in many other podcasts. You are their teacher. Primarily, they have three teachers. You, the school, and their friends. That's it. Stops there. Yep. You, the school, and the friends. People may argue internet and TV, but I come onto that another time. I ain't going any further than that here today. So, yeah. Take responsibility for your actions in front of your kids. Another thing you could do is tell them stories, stuff you did when you're growing up. Doesn't matter how, if they're old enough, can get graphic, but you can gauge it by the age your child is. And tell them about stuff you used to get up to. They appreciate that. They like, kids like stories, and they appreciate that. So sit them down, give them a story, and go from there. That works also. Another thing is, and this is a big thing, no matter what exercise they do, whether it's sports or whether they're doing an academic study thing going on there, if they haven't put the work in, you have to tell them that they haven't put the work in and show them where they went wrong. So, did you work Monday? Did you work Tuesday? Were you doing 5 hours on that? Were you only doing 1 hour on that? Pull out the stacks. They don't lie. Let them see it for themselves. Only then would they think about taking responsibility on that. My name is Noel Michael Smith, and you're in tune to the Low Food Fitness Lifestyle Podcast, and I'm really happy to be with you today. I'm going to be leaving you right now. If you want to get hold of me, you can reach me on lowfoodatme.com, or you can go to Club Energize TV on YouTube and see some great videos there. You can find us on Facebook, Low Food at, yeah, just Low Food on Facebook. There are three Low Food, there are three pages there. My personal page is Noel Smith. You've got the Low Food page and the Low Food profile. Go to any one of those, pick us up. We've got a great team. Stay tuned to what we're doing here. I love you all. So stay in touch. I'll be back soon next time. I will not leave it long. Love you. Mwah.